again.
This month we've been looking at it.
And I don't know how you guys find the Bible. I shared a couple of weeks ago, so you want to hear my postmodern ramblings about the Bible, go on our website and you can hear it. But I sometimes find the Bible a bit tricky to read. Does anyone else find it tricky to read?
Yeah.
You bunch of liars, those of you saying no. Okay. And my extra problem is this. I'm dyslexic. And the problem with dyslexia is this, is that you misread stuff so all the time. So if any of you send me a long text message or an email complaining to me, I just want to say this now. Don't do it, because I'll take it as a compliment, because I'll probably misread it. And if I'm one of those people, I find it a real challenge at times. My wife still reminds me of the time at Bible college where I got the word condemned mixed up with condone when I was spelling. So I wrote an essay saying how God condones suicide all the way through. And she's like, Jim, you've got the wrong message here. And it's one of those things with dyslexia. But dyslexia also helps me to think differently. But I remember when I was younger and I was at school, there was a group of us dyslexics together and we'd turn around and I remember the one lad goes to me, he went, I'm dyslexic, I can't do the work. And I was really dyslexic. But the thing about dyslexia is if you've got dyslexia, it doesn't mean you can't read. It just means you find it more challenging. And you can find strategies through to help you do it. So in my life as a dyslexic, I work through strategies. Number one, I married an English teacher, because she can check all my spelling for me. And she has special needs now as well. It's perfect, isn't it? God knew what he was doing. And sometimes it just works. My next tactic was this, is I had to persevere. You know, I had to keep pushing through. So I have a target in myself now. In our family, my girls love reading. Naomi loves reading. She's a degree in English literature. And I set myself a target of reading 30 books a year. And I'm not talking about little thin comics, but decent-sized books. And the reason I do that is because I know if I don't force myself to do it, I'm going to lose the ability. And if you're dyslexic, you'll understand what I mean. It's really hard to get back into it. So I got these little strategies that try and help me get through. I also reread it, because the amount of times that I've reread messages and the book lines over and over again, because I worked out that I haven't quite got it right. And it's a little bit like this with the Bible. You know, some of us can be like, I don't fully understand it. It's an old book. Let's leave it. Let's forget about it. Let's go, I'm not doing it. And a bit like my dyslexic friends with excuses about why they can't do it. But I've discovered this, that the Bible is worth reading. It's worth making the effort for. And if you want to listen to why I follow the Bible, I have a sermon a couple of weeks ago. But the essence is this. I don't follow the Bible. I don't follow God because of the Bible. I follow the Bible because I've encountered God. And that's so important. But the thing about the Bible is it's about trying to read it properly. Now, I grew up in a strict South African family, and they are mentioned before, having our Bible studies at home was like being tortured, okay, as a child. You had to follow it. And I remember my mother would quote the Bible, God bless her, and loads of bits. She would go there, she would go, tattoos, they're evil, they're terrible. It says in Leviticus, you cannot have a tattoo. I'd be like, Mum, but your clothes have got two different threads in it. Okay, what are you doing about that? That doesn't matter, Jim. Okay. She goes to me, Jim, I can't eat black pudding. Because black pudding's full of blood. It says in Leviticus about blood. I said, Mum, you're a pork farmer. It says in Leviticus, don't breed pigs. And sometimes we can be a little bit like this with the Bible, can't we? You pick and choose, and people say, I disagree with this. The Bible says this. You can Google anything, okay, and find out the facts for yourself. And there's ways that we can twist the Bible and not read it properly. But actually, I believe that the Bible, hope this is working today. There we go. I believe the Bible is really helpful for us, but we need to read it properly. Because guys, I'm determined to eradicate misusing the Bible off Facebook and Twitter, okay? The amount of times it's put on there and misused is incredible. The amount of times as Christians we can misuse the Bible with each other. Pastor Peter mentioned last week about when God says, says in Jeremiah, for I have plans for you, plans to prosper you. If you read the next verse, it says, but it's going to be in 70 years' time. Because we just misquote stuff, don't we, all the time? So how do we read this to understand it? Because in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, it says this. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I love this, but the reality is sometimes the Bible is actually quite hard for us to get our heads around. But we can see that the Bible is there for our benefit. It's there to help us. It's there to help us grow. And sometimes as Christians, we can be a little bit stupid. And I'm using that word there. Sometimes there's obviously issues that we pretend aren't there and we live in blind ignorance. You know, like when your friend is going out with someone who's an absolute stinker? Okay, and you point out their problems and the friend goes, that doesn't matter, it's fine. Or no, you're not telling the truth. Christians can sometimes be like that when we've got issues to grapple with. You know, my seven-year-old daughter came up to me and she said, when my oldest daughter, she's 10 tomorrow.
I feel like such an old man.
Okay, and when she was seven, she came up to me and Naomi and she goes, I've got issues with the Bible. And I'm like, what issues you got with the Bible? She said, well, I'm reading it through. And she said, she was reading her kid's Bible and some other Bible books we gave her. And she was also reading dinosaur books. She goes, where does dinosaurs fit in the creation story? So I did what every good pastor and father would do. I sent her to her mother. But after a while, we actually dialogued about it. And we spoke about it. But the guys, there's some explanations that some Christians give. And I'm just sitting there going, he for real? My seven-year-old daughter can see through those. And we need to engage with the Bible properly and not stupidly. And there's three things I want to give us, three little tactics I want to give us, because I'm convinced that the Bible is God's word to help us. So I want to give you three that all begin with C-O-N, okay? And I just want to encourage us today just to remember these when we read the Bible. First thing to do when reading the Bible is, what is the context of what I'm reading? Okay, so we need to ask this question. Who is this part of the Bible being written to? Okay, who is this chapter being written to? You know, when you read prophetic books like Joel and Jonah and Amos and Habakkuk, it really helps to know who it's being written to. Because it probably wasn't at that time being written to a Stokey living in the Middle East, okay? It was written to guys however many thousand years ago who were going through particular situations. If it's in the Old Testament, or is it in the New Testament? We have to ask these questions. If we're reading the Old Testament, we need to remember that not everything in the Old Testament applies to us as Christians. And we can't just pick and choose which that works. So what I encourage you to do is, whenever you're reading the Old Testament, is with context, read it through the lens of the New Testament. So my mum, with the whole pig thing and the blood thing, it says in Acts, you can eat pigs. It says in Leviticus, you can't eat pigs. So you've got to read it through. And some of you are relieved because you're baking butties in 2 weeks' time. Okay, with Gordon. But you've got to be careful about how you read it. I heard about a guy who became a Christian. He was Glaswegian, so I say no more. Okay, and he decided to read the Bible through from the beginning to the end. He said, I'm going to do everything. And he got to Leviticus, and it said about sacrificing pigeons. So no word of a lie, he went to the Glasgow in the park, he caught a pigeon and was about to sacrifice the pigeon. And then he noticed there was a slight defect on the pigeon, so he let it go because it wasn't perfect. And if we don't read it with context, then we're going to misunderstand it. And we could do a lot of spiritual abuse for other people as well. So this is the first thing, read it in context. I'm going to explain in a minute how we put this right. Do it. The next thing is this, content. What is the content of what I'm reading? So what is being said? Is it a story? Is it a parable, which is like a story? Is it an illustration? Is it historical fact? Is it instruction? Is it a poem? Now you need to understand, and it's not hard to work it out. The Bible's broken into sections. I can give you points later on. If you come over and chat with me, I can help you understand it. But this is really important. Because if you read 2 Samuel 11 and you see David sitting on a balcony, staring at another woman's wife, naked, and then going and sleeping with her and then murdering her husband, that is not an instruction, okay? But when Jesus says in Matthew 6, forgive as I've forgiven you, that's an instruction. Do you see the difference? Yeah, some of you got the wrong end of the stick sometimes, but yeah. We need to understand, you know, that content and context are really important. And guys, when reading the Bible, we're really lucky in today's world because we've got our smartphones. We've got Google, which is not always useful, but actually quite useful. We've got the Bible Gateway. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. We've got the YouVersion Bible app, which many of us use on our phones. They're all there, really useful to help us. We've got stuff like, there's another one called Enduring Word Commentaries. We've got so many resources that are free that can help us understand the context and the content of what we're reading. To make sure that we sort of grasp it, to understand it, to ask these questions, not just blindly follow. But those are really important. But the problem with understanding the content and the context is sometimes it gives us so much head knowledge that we don't have any heart knowledge. And the final thing that we need to do is we need to contemplate what we're reading. We need to contemplate what we're reading. Another word you might use for contemplate is to meditate. It says this in Psalm 1, verse 2. It says, but those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his laws, the Lord delights in, I'm getting this wrong way here, I told you I'm dyslexic, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his laws day and night. Now, this is really interesting because that word for meditate, which is used in the Bible there, is also another word of Yeager, I think it's Yeager. My Hebrew is a bit shocking. And it's also another word that's used in Isaiah 31, verse 4. And it talks about this. As a lion growls, a great lion over its prey. And the word Yeager means to moan, to growl, to utter, to muse, to meditate, to devise, to plot, or to speak. And I love this illustration by Eugene Peterson, who's a Bible scholar, because he says this. When we're reading the Bible, when we use that psalm idea to meditate, when a young lion is eating its prey, it's really enjoying its prey. It goes over the bones and rips all the meat off and really enjoys it. And the illustration that Eugene Peterson says, when he saw that idea of the young lion over its prey, he thought of a dog and a bone. Now, my wife's vegetarian, so she doesn't like bones being left all over the house for our dog. Before my mother died, my mother felt that was inappropriate, so she had about 30 bones in the freezer for my dog. So every time we went to visit her, she would give my dog a bone. And whenever my dog had a bone, do you know what he'd do? He would sit there for hours, just chewing it, enjoying it, getting every little bit of gristle out of it. He'd stick his tongue up the middle to pull the marrow bone out. Has anyone had that with their dogs? Literally hours enjoying that bone. And when we meditate on God's scripture and we contemplate on it, it's us enjoying God's scripture. It's us getting to understand it. It's us reflecting and thinking about it. You know, I spent time in the book of Psalms, and I've just been going through it, meditating, reflecting on it. And I'm now in Joshua. And rather than rush through the Bible, I'm just going back, I'm reading it, I'm meditating on it, I'm thinking about it, I'm contemplating it. And when you start to contemplate it, it's amazing because it starts to change you. You start to grasp it and understand it so much more, and it doesn't become a quick thing to do. So I'm going to just come in. I want to use an illustration now just to help us understand this. So the three things we need to do, we need context, content, and contemplate. Can we say that together? Context, content, and contemplate. Say to the person next to you, just 5 minutes longer. 5 minutes longer. There we go. I'm going to flick this in. I'm going to encourage you to read this at home. There we go. Genesis 1. Let's start at the beginning of the Bible. When you go home and you look at this. So the first question we ask ourselves is, what is the context of Genesis 1? Who is Genesis 1 written to? Now, I'll tell you a little secret. Genesis 1 was not written to a world that had NASA sending up telescopes and everything else. Genesis 1 was written to a bunch of guys in the Middle East who believed the earth was flat. Now, some of you may still believe the earth is flat. We might disagree on that now. But their neighbors and everyone around them was worshiping every god imaginable. Literally, if they liked something, they'd worship it. If they liked a sandwich, they'd create a sandwich god. For those of you who watched Thor recently, anyone watched Thor? Yeah, a few of you had, you'll understand this. If you watched it, there you go, charity. We'll be the only two here. But in Thor, they had the illustration. They basically had this one thing that said convention of gods that had ever been created. And there was thousands of gods that all came together. And literally, it was every little thing someone could worship, they made a god for. So this is who God was writing, the message God was writing to, giving over to. So the first thing is contact. Flat earth people, 3,500 years ago, who worshipped anything that was going. So what is the content? The content of Genesis 1 is that God was saying that I created the moon, I created the sun, I created everything. Everything that people were worshipping, God says, why are you worshipping it? Because I created it. Does that make sense? So suddenly when we start looking at it like this, it's a little bit of what's God's message. Because I don't want us to be a fight between whether you're a literal creationist or a literal creationist or everything else, because we just fall out over silly things as churches. But when we start reading it like that, we start saying that I'm not going to worship a cow because God created a cow. I'm not going to worship the moon because God created the moon. Instead, I'm going to worship the creator behind all of it. Then you have to contemplate. I encourage you to go home and put this into practice with Genesis 1. When you start contemplating on Genesis 1, you are no longer bothered about whether God created the world in 6 days or God created the world in however many years, 1,000 years to God a day, all that stuff. It doesn't matter because the message matters to you. And the message is this, that God created humans separately, that humans are special. There's something about us. The message is this, when I was contemplating it, is that I don't need to worship other things. I just need to worship God first. And today, my illustration, when I've contemplated this, I thought about this. I thought, you know what? I might not be worshiping Ra, the sun god, now. But you know what? I can worship my work at times. I can worship my smartphone. Isn't that right? Yeah. Some of you go, your spouse is looking at you, of course you do. It really struck me. Then the last thing is, that really struck me, is when I read the end of Genesis chapter 1, God says, I've given over the world to you humans, look after it. And I thought, you know what, that really challenged me, because I thought, you know when you're tempted to put the recycling in the wrong bin, okay, just because I'm lazy, I thought, you know what, actually, I need to care about it. My kids walk to school, we need to walk to school now, why? Because I need to care about the planet. I can walk, so use my two legs and walk. It's really interesting when we start contemplating on it, it changes dynamics. So I'm coming into land now. But I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you beyond this week. Whenever you're reading the Bible, just ask these three simple questions. What is the content? What is the context? And then spend time contemplating it. What I did was when I had a verse that jumped out to me, and I forget everything, okay? It's actually a sign of dyslexia as well. So if you give me, I can remember everything I did 20 years ago and what I ate for toast 20 years ago on my toast. But if my wife asked me to buy something from the supermarket, I come back with Lego instead. Okay, I always forget. So I find that when I read my Bible, I've forgotten what I'm supposed to get in the morning. I've forgotten really what God has spoken to me. So what I do is I write it on my phone. And throughout the day, I reflect on it. I contemplate on it. And what I found, the more I contemplate, the more that God changes me. So I encourage you this week, whenever you're reading your word, remember content, context, and contemplate. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the difference it can make in our lives. I thank you for the way it can transform us, Lord. And Father God, I pray you'd help us to be a church, help us to be individuals who love your word, who are excited about your word, who want to engage and want you to speak to us through your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that to Timothy 3:16 will be real in our lives, that the Bible does transform us. It corrects us, it rebukes us, it changes us into how the people that you want us to be. And Lord, help us not just to rush through the Bible, But help us to gnaw on it like that dog with the bone. Help us to get every little bit of grizzle out of there, Lord. And help us, God, ultimately, to understand your word better so that we can grow in our relationship with you. We pray that in your very precious name. Amen. That's it. Okay. Shall we stand one more time? Me and Amy will do one last song, and then you guys can go and get your bikinis out, whatever else you're doing, okay, this afternoon. I have a wife who's just glaring at me on the front row here, going, Jim, what have you done now? Brilliant. Who you say I am? Let's worship.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in all his love for me. All his love for me, who the Son sets free. All is free indeed. I'm a child. His grace.